You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca, Alberta's only regulated online gambling website. Use the promo code, and you get a new one every month, Greger50, and you'll get a free $50 play only at PlayAlberta.ca.
Today?
I'm good, Cons. I'm on the Alberta side of Lloydminster.
What are you coaching out there?
Yeah, we're in a tournament.
Right on. How's it going so far?
It was a tough 5-minute stretch in the third period. Led 3-2 and gave up 3 goals in 6 minutes and lost 5-3. So terrible coaching, clearly.
Big momentum change there. I assume you guys have some time to bounce back tomorrow.
Yeah, well, tournament, early game, 8 o'clock. So
Okay.
Coach got to set a curfew tonight for
yeah.
kids.
No, I know many sticks past 7.
Yeah, exactly.
Edmonton Oilers making some moves today, Jason, recalling Quinn Hudson and Ike Howard from Bakersfield. What do you make of this decision, and what do you think the usage will be for them tomorrow against the Flyers?
Well, I'm curious, is Pod Colson,
he mispracticed with an illness, so we're waiting to see.
Okay, illness, okay, so he's probably okay. And Pod Colson, like Mangiapane, obviously was holding his spot, so, you know what, I don't have a problem with it. You got a lot of guys shooting blanks all over the place, so. You know, the last 3 games here, the Oilers really haven't had anybody scoring that much, to be honest. So, now, they created a lot against Boston. Swayman was just pretty good. But I don't have a problem with this at all. I wonder, like, I know they have Savoy centering the two kids. And, you know, why not? You can go with the kid line on a home ice and be a little bit protective of who they play against. But I don't think they're that concerned about them defensively. They'll probably get a lot of offensive zone starts. And, you know, I won't be surprised to see maybe Nugent Hopkins end up being the center iceman there for a few shifts. So you got to try something. Now's the time to do it. You got a lot of guys in a funk in their bottom six, and you'd like your third line to produce something. So why not bring up the two hottest guys in the AHL, at least on the Condors anyway. So makes sense.
Yeah, when you look at some of the guys on the Oilers bottom six that just can't find ways to get it going, I mean, what do you think the message is from Chris Knobloch and his staff? Because we saw Mangiapane get that look with Draisaitl last game, did not last very long at all. I mean, at a certain point, what do you say to these guys?
Well, they're professionals. They've been around a long time. There's not much you can say, really. Anybody who's coached at any level, like, you can talk till you're blue in the face. The players are the ones who play. And now what the coach can do is, you know, you can give him ice time, right? That can help him in a way. But if they're not playing the way you want, or they're not doing much, then it's hard to give them ice time. So it's a real chicken and the egg dilemma, and it's a fine balance. And, you know, lots of coaches experience it, that sometimes, you know, you press the wrong button and sometimes you press the right button. So I think that, you know, there's a clear message here that we're going to bring up some guys. The Oilers on an extended, like, January, what do they play? I think it's 11 out of 15 at home, right? So you can, it's the perfect time to incorporate some more youth. Now, let's be honest here. You know, you've got 3 rookies on your third line. Then you got Roslovich and you got Nugent Hopkins. There's 5 of your top 9, and none of them are very big, and none of them are very physical. Like, that's not going to be your top 9 in the playoffs if you want to go deep. Like, let's call a spade here. So anybody who's watched the Oilers playoff roster knows, like, you know, Evander Kane played a big role each year in the playoffs, you know, just with minutes. And you need somebody with some size in there. So I do think that it's something that, you know, I don't think all 5 of them will be in the playoff lineup, but this gives them some experience. And, you know, maybe 4 of them end up being there. So I really don't have a problem with it at all. You've got, you know, Adam Henrique's a fourth line center. So just get him used to being a fourth line center down the stretch here. There's no point playing him in third line. Janmark's not really a third line guy. So I don't have a problem trying some other guys here. And then obviously, you know, when Kapanen comes back, you know, we'll see kind of how guys are playing, because, you know, if Kapanen comes back and you think he's a top 9 forward, then one of your top 9 forwards is going to go to the fourth line. And I don't want Howard or Hudson to play my fourth line. That makes zero sense to me, or Savoy. So either one of those guys, you know, whoever comes out goes to the minors, I think is how it works when Kapanen comes.
Jason Greger, the host of the Jason Greger Show and Oilers Nation, joining us here on the Jason Greger Show. Connor Halley, Wanya Gretz sitting in. Jason, the Buffalo Sabres, now 10 straight wins. They're in a playoff spot right now. How long do you think they can keep this going? Like, do you think this could be the team we see for the rest of the season?
Well, they're not obviously going to win as much as they are, but, you know, I the Sabres, I thought at the start of the year, would be a very competitive team, and I thought, you know, would be in the mix to make the playoffs. And that's what they are now. So it didn't, the first 40 games probably didn't go as planned. They stunk to start, and now they're red hot, which is obviously unsustainable. So I think they are who we thought they were at the start of the year, a team that could compete for the playoffs. And the East is wide open. So it's probably going to come down to who stays the healthiest. amongst those teams. And really, you know what, like, if, can Buffalo have another really good stretch of 10 games? If they find another way to go 8-2, not right away, but at some point in their last 40, that's probably the difference. If you play 500 the rest of the way, and then you go 8-2, you're probably going to make it. So that's kind of where I see the Sabres at right now. Obviously, the Lion injury, you know, how long is it going to be? That could impact them for sure. Ukko-Pukka Laikkanen did come in and played pretty well in his last start. And, like, they're beating some good teams here lately. That's the other thing. It's not like, you know, in 2018 when they won all these games in overtime and the shootout, and, you know, they're getting outshot horrendously. Like, they've only given up 18 goals in the 10 games, right? Like, so they're getting good goaltending, and that's a key, so.
Yeah, and that division's really interesting right now because the Maple Leafs now won 4 of their last 5. Red Wings sitting atop the list. The Panthers out of the playoffs, but you can't rule them out. So it's going to be a fun division to watch down the stretch after the Olympic break. Did you get a chance to see the U.S., Finn, and Swedish rosters?
I did, yeah. You know, obviously the Jason Robertson one, you know, stands out. Adam Fox, I can see it. Now, people have to remember, Quinn Hughes didn't play. So Quinn Hughes comes in. Well, he's obviously playing now. And Seth Jones has played really well. Right, so I can see why they look at Seth Jones and they look at Adam Fox and they say, man, like, they've got a lot of kind of similar defensemen in the USA, right? They got a lot of smaller defensemen, and that's why I think, you know, Seth Jones makes a lot of sense to me. Right? You got to have some size, and he can skate well. Like, he just, you know, he played 20 some minutes a night on a Stanley Cup winning team. Like, I think he's pretty good. So that I'm more surprised, I guess, a little bit on Robertson than I am on anybody else. So, you know, we'll kind of see how he goes from there. The only surprise maybe for me was, you know, Pontus Holmberg making it. That's, you know, over some of the guys that got left off that team. But, you know, at the end of it, I didn't see any major, you know, major ones. You're always going to have debates, just like for Canada, right? There was a few that, like, hey, you know what, why didn't they have, you know, Schaefer or maybe, you know, Sam Bennett? But, you know, ultimately, you know, the team who wins, you can't question their decisions. Anybody else, if they don't win, people are going to say, oh, you know what, if they would have had this guy, they might have won, which is great for sports radio, but there's zero actual credibility to it because it's just an opinion based on nothing, because we don't know how that said player would have played had he been in the situation.
Did you think Mattias Ekholm had a realistic chance at the Swedish roster?
I did not, actually. I think that, and honestly, Oiler fans should be giddy.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
He's not there. He's 35. He needs a break. Right? Let him have 3 weeks off. That is the best thing that happens for him. Same with Zach Hyman. Like, Hyman, I thought, had a legit shot to make it, right? But I thought Ekholm was in tough, realistically. And you don't want why would you want Mattias Ekholm to be the number 8? That's why they sent Broberg, younger guy. They think he'll be there in 4 years. There's no chance Ekholm will be there in 4 years. So I think that's probably why they did it. And you got to remember, Ekholm was going to be scratched in Sweden's last game in Four Nations until everybody got sick, and then he had to play. So that kind of, to me, the writing was on the wall the last one, that they just, you know, they felt like, hey, we're gonna bring in some other guys now. And I honestly think I know it'll suck for Ekholm. Of course he wants to play. I get it. But from an Edmonton Oilers perspective, that's great news for Edmonton.
Totally agree. Before we let you go here, are you looking forward to the NHL Winter Classic down in Florida tonight?
Well, I'm actually, as we speak, I'm watching it. Their outfits remind me of my grade 9 grad when I went with the all pink. It was sick, man. Miami Vice was pretty sweet back in the day. I don't mind that walk to the rink. I'll be very curious to see, you know, how the ice conditions hold up. I know the NHL has done a lot of work, and I know Will Cooley said, hey, you know, the ice isn't very good. Well, no one's expecting it to be great, right? But obviously you don't want it to be to the point where it can have ruts and then there's injuries, right? Mm-hmm. That's the only thing. But, you know, Florida has become a pretty good hockey market. Like, you know, it's never going to compete with Canada. You know, people don't have to flex and be like, oh, we have more fans. Like, of course you have more fans. Like, you know, it's not rocket science that hockey's not, like, embedded in the community. But the success of the Panthers will get more rinks and will get more kids playing hockey, and that's how you grow your game. So it's good for them. You know, do I think this is going to be the norm? No, but I've always said I'm a big fan of the outdoor games for the home team. So that's really who it's for now. People are like, oh, they're making a big deal out of nothing until it's your team and then you love it. So stop complaining about it when it isn't your team, and you don't have to watch it if you don't like it. Right? It's like I'll be tuning in, you know, for personal reasons, but also just to see kind of how the ice holds up and what it looks like. It's kind of a unique one to be in Florida, right? An outdoor game in Florida. Like, whoever would have thought that?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to have some cool sight lines. Or like, the imagery, I think, is going to be awesome. And, yeah, I guess Noah's going to be playing in it, right? So, very interesting. Now, NFL this weekend, we've got some playoff spots open. You got the Steelers or the Ravens. And then you've got the NFC South as well with some possible drama there. It could be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers or the Carolina Panthers. Who do you think makes the postseason with those two battles still ongoing?
Good question. Like, I looked at what the Ravens did last week. And I look and say, man, you're gonna run now, and you know Lamar's back, so I still think they got more talent than Pittsburgh does right now. And without you know, you look at DK's out of the lineup for Pittsburgh, like, that man, who would have thought that suspension would loom this big now, right? And that, to me, that's a difference maker, no question. Don't you? Like, I think that's. Probably so. I'll take Baltimore on the road. I think if Pittsburgh wins, it would kind of be an upset at home ice. And then, man, the other one, I have no idea. Tampa Bay's just been chunkier down the stretch. Like, look at their last seven games. Like, they've been brutal. So I'm going to go with Carolina because they've been the better team lately.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you. Without DK Metcalf, like, even if he's not getting targeted as much as he'd like to, he's still a threat. You always have to kind of have him in the corner of your eye because he's got such big play potential. And I'd love to see the Carolina Panthers take that next step. And, you know, they've been kind of, you know, the bottom feeder of that division for a while now. So to get a big win, to advance, good for Bryce Young, good for the program. And I think a fun team to watch potentially going forward here because Dave Canales has really turned that program around. Jason, good luck in your game tomorrow, and we'll talk to you on Monday.